This session is from the 2021 Shepherd's 360 International Church Leaders Conference. For more information, visit shepherds360.org.
I guess we get started. Mark, I think it's what I
guess. All right, well, we're here a little bit today to talk about some of the differences across generations and what that really means in terms of architectural space. And, you know, we approach it a little bit by acknowledging what some of those differences are, but then also finding the commonalities across those that will actually speak to all ages, because we do that it's important to have that influence from each generation, because, you know, as you know, theoretically, we were joking earlier, you know, as we all age, we gain wisdom, and how do we pass that down to the younger generations, but then also, you know, be open to some of those suggestions and innovations that come out of those younger viewpoints with the passion, the challenging of why are we always done this, or what about this? And so being able to leverage that together, have that pairing, it's very important, because the best place to start, you know, is scripture. You know, and like it says, it's you know, the body is made up of many parts. So that really is, you know, that the church is the body of Christ. You know, so how do we come together and build that family and have those connections and those relationships that let us continue to flourish, to grow, to increase the fold, to create those disciples that actually go out and share the gospel? Like we were mentioning, you know, to us, you know, a healthy church is reaching all demographics. You know, you have the, you know, seniors, you have the you know, young adults, the median adults, the students, the children, the preschool, and it's fairly balanced. I mean, you tend to skew more young families, because that is a lot of where your growth is, but if you do it to the detriment of other ages, then you are missing an opportunity.
And I would even add to it, the multicultural, multi-ethnic is really striking in the church, I see.
Especially when you look out across society at that influence, that is something that is a driver for a lot of the I guess just as a baseline, we want to start with, this is from the 2020 census. When you look at how the demographics are broken out, we're going to basically focus on, you know, these four. So basically Gen Z, the boomers. You know, you would think, you know, it's pretty evenly split. You know, they're all roughly, you know, 25%. Well, reality is, you know, millennials and Gen Zs actually make up more than 50% of the population that's out there. And when you look at, you know, as those continue to grow, I mean, these do continue to decline. And so what does that mean? Well, as you get into that new mix coming into play, some of the key factors that really create that influence is, like, when you say boomers, and I'm going to throw out some generalities, so no offense to anyone in here, we all fall in one of these groups. When you think about boomers, you know, they're known for, you know, having that vision, you know, having that drive, you know, it's about that, you know, the accumulation. There also is a little bit of the consumerism. There is a little bit of that individualistic need. There's that, you know, there's a little bit of the budget driven, the pragmatic. I mean, it's less about what the space looks like than what the space does. It's very important to, you know, be able to have control and input in what's decided and done.
I failed to mention this earlier, but does anybody know the statistics for that? For that 21% represented by the boomers, how much they stand right currently, how much they are have to give us inheritance?
70%, isn't it?
$70 trillion is expected pretty soon as some of these boomers start aging. You know, I mean, the younger boomer, there's the older boomer, and then, of course, there's the book, whatever, silent generation. But you think about that and the potential for the church, because we're going to talk about that. So the transfer of not but just knowledge, but there will be a transfer of wealth, unprecedented, coming to the next generation.
Well, that is one thing that I would mentioned is they are cause oriented. They do believe in giving to specific, you know, causes and other areas where they think it can make a difference.
So, you know, you transition to Gen X, which is, you know, which is what I'm a part of, which is really that, mid 40s, early 50s. And it is an intentional shift to, it's more people driven. It's more about relationships. It becomes, meaningful purpose to what's being done. And there's a little bit of, cynicism, there's a little bit of lack of respect for authority. I always wanted to challenge things because they came out of that, and they saw what was happening in the boomer. And like Gen X was one of the first generations that, broken families and, what that looks like and how that influenced their particular relationships and how they raised their kids. But it really, it created a desire for those personal experiences and that ability to connect and really value people. Which
created a need for meaningful spaces,
right? Which brings us to millennials, where you really started to see the birth of some of the buzzwords, like authenticity. It's like everything had to be authentic to the purpose it was intended. Very much the beginnings of inclusiveness. We want to make sure that everyone is represented, and it became a little bit more about the still purpose driven, but more societal focus.
Community focus.
How is it affecting the community, not just those that we know within our particular group, but the community at large? What right. part do we play?
Yeah, like we mentioned earlier, coffee shops, how they come into play, right? The old Starbucks. Right. My oldest is 33, almost 33 years old. They've never not known Starbucks. And so their experience of growing up and drinking coffee, as a child, I grew up drinking coffee. My grandparents bought, but not in a societal, not in, you might have done it in a house, but our kids grew up very early in a coffee shop with a very different relational, not a going to the coffee donut shop with grandpa. So
very casual.
They're not about, all the common circumstance that you saw from some of the previous generations. And there was in terms of ministry, there was a focus, like a shift from, it's not necessarily about the church, it's about God, and it's about that relationship. So it became, you sometimes hear it, it's the spiritual. It's less about the dogma, and it's more about that.
The vast majority have never not known technology, right? Back then, they've never not known a computer. And for sure, this
is the best way to, them up here post-Christian, right? You hear that they move beyond. Like if they have a question, they're going to Google. They're not going to their elders. They're not going to anywhere else. They're going to ask Google, and Google's going to tell them, its version of truth. And there is a little bit of that. Truth is relative. With this particular generation, you're starting to see that truth is what they say it is, or what it is to them in that particular moment.
More independent and self-confident, which sometimes, they're the most useful of the groups, but they're the most confident in their knowledge / experience wisdom, although they haven't had a lot of those experiences.
Well, and what they speak is as if they have that, because, Google told them this is what it is, so they speak as an authority, even though they don't actually have those experiences. But it also blends a little bit into the term I've heard to put it well is it's a digital generation, which is the merging of physical and digital, because a good portion of their life, their understanding is on the phone. It is in the the metaverse. It's whether it's whatever the latest one is, like TikTok and some of these other pieces. But then there is a whole new reality that's starting to come online, and that generation is engaging in it, living in it, and it's just as real as what we have in the physical world. Sometimes with certain people, even more real, because to them that is where they live. So how do you take all of that and bring that together into physical space, which is what we ultimately want to do, because that's where the body can start to develop and create that fellowship. So
you know, when you talk about architectural design, we're going to talk about seven just common concepts that come across each generation. You know, the first being having a defined purpose. So like when you think about what you're trying to do, you're going to build, you know, it's a startup church or it's a new particular piece. You want to make sure that it's very purposeful. It's very intentional. So it's, we put it, or we've termed it quite often as, you want your ministry to drive your space. You don't want your space to ever be driven by your ministry, because so often we hear when we visit or talk with particular groups, it's like, well, we'd love to do this, but we can't because of some limiting factor. So then all of a sudden the ministry opportunities that their particular community might need or that they want to offer, they can't just because of those physical limitations. So we always want to start with, all right, what is that purpose, so that we can now start to define what that space wants to be, and we can shape it and we can create it for that intended purpose. So as an example, so this particular church, it's in the Dallas area. You know, basically, if you're familiar at all with Dallas, SMU is right. I mean, this actual campus is on SMU's or adjacent to SMU's property. There was an existing Gothic facility, and what they wanted to do is they had a ministry that was geared towards serving the special needs community. And so they knew they wanted to enhance that. Well, how do we do that? We want to build a special needs place. We also know we want to serve the students, the youth group, and we also know we want to reach out to the community. And so we were able to work with them, and it's a three-story facility that's special needs, first floor, second floor, and then shared community space on the third floor. But one of the intentional elements of this particular addition was, we have their existing campus. We want to match that character so it looks like a contiguous piece, because it is across the street from the main campus. But we also intentionally want to acknowledge that this particular underserved community is just as important to us as anybody else on campus. So even though it's you know, special needs students, it's like, no, they are just as important as the rest of the campus. So it all has that message. And so as you walk through the space, it's providing large open spaces to be able to communicate through. It's a cafe teaching kitchen that not only helps, you know, give life skills to the special needs that it serves, but it also provides opportunity for the community to come in and be served by those special needs. And it allows for that interaction and that sense of you know, you matter, you belong here. And it's just it's creating spaces that, you know, serve the particular needs, you know, whether it's a sensory room or it's other teaching type areas that will serve that demographic. And then as you move up into the other functions, like we say, you know, how is your space shaped by your ministry? It gets into, when you talk about students, when you talk about the types of spaces they want to see, you know, how it starts to blend in that Gothic exterior, but then you bring in some more modern materials. But it's the space that has opportunity for community art classes. It has,
this is really a student union extension from SMU. It's a 24/7 space they'd allow for if we had the church.
Gathering space, recreational space, you know, relationship-driven space. On the weekends, it's classrooms, it's study carols during the week. I mean, it's just the ability for them to open this up and allow them to come in. But that was very intentional when the project was started. It's like, what's the need? How do we create space that lets us accomplish that? Which ultimately gets into, you know, from that purpose, it gets into basically, you know, community. And what do we mean by that? You know, it's community within the church. So it's how we build family, but it's also how we reach and fit within the context of the larger community that we serve and that we reside. So one of the ways that potentially, you know, is accomplished is, this was a church, again, in the Dallas area, that saw an opportunity for a public partnership with the, you know, city of Paramount to create a community center that was 6 days a week. And then on the weekend, they would take it over for their youth.
And so working with the city, there's some ball fields that they've rehabilitated and they create a facility that has classroom space, it has fellowship space, hospitality space, gymnasium, it's a Red Cross center. So it really does become that community-focused space that the church also utilizes. So now the church it's a way to bring people in that potentially otherwise would have gone the doors in the church. And so when you talk about part of that facilitating community is speaking to the expectations that come in. So when we talk about spaces we all go on a daily basis, like, you know, like where our kids go to school and where we eat or hang out, there's a certain level of expectations of what we see. You know, well, we need to match that to a certain extent with our church campus, because if students come to, you know, your kids come for Sunday morning, they go to Sunday school, they go to Bible study, their room is less than what they see at the school. It's not going to matter as much as that. It's just the nature of those expectations. So when you talk about, when we build, you know, like the community space, you know, this is that rec center we were just looking at, having the opportunity for parents to come inside and be able to sit, still watch their kids on the outside. You know, it's Dallas, where everyone has to be inside, be cool, right? But just
that's for their siblings to go in case their siblings aren't available, you know, they can.
Seeing, you know, different opportunities for, you know, congregating together, how that, you know, the intuitive flow passed through space, as well as, you know,
it roughly is a way of providing air conditioning, concessions, and restrooms throughout the week, right? When they're opening up for, but it puts a lot of community in their space. Church, this is just a facility that sits right adjacent to their campus, which we had done none of their existing campus, but it sat between them and a large 6A high school. And so they'll even open that up for like Friday night, fifth quarter. They've done a lot of different ways to introduce community. And that's just sometimes thinking as a church, how can we be relevant in the current context we're in?
And part of that community is creating those connections, right? So it's the horizontal connections, like, that we have with each other, but it's also a vertical connection that we come to experience, like through the worship service or even when we're in, you know, Bible study, discipleship, and how we grow that deep relationship with God. And so the spaces that are geared towards that, you know, just help encourage it. So for example, this was a church, this is the existing campus. And you see, like any old, you know, good church of the past, is like you had worship, you had the different education buildings that were built over time. So, you know, this was the 50s, you had the 70s, you had, I forget, I think that one was the 80s in the back, and then, right, all these corridors connected.
They did have each 50, 60, 70s, and at least they stopped at 80 with a big couple.
And so to get from one space to the other, you either have to go outside, or you just have to know, hey, take two lefts and a right, there you go. Well, working with them and talking through what they were really missing, it was creating that central hub. There was no front door. There was no space that everyone could come together and then intuitively know that's where preschool is, that's where children are, that's students, that's youth, that's worship. That's
and I failed to mention this in the previous setting. This was a declining church. A good-sized church, but still declining. Massive freeway. They're a significant freeway church in the Fort Worth area.
And so working with them, you know, thinking about, all right, what was the purpose of what we're trying to do? Well, we want to create that space where we can all come together as a church family, you know, build that community, create that connection. So it was coming in and creating this new hospitality hub that then bridged the gap between these pieces, and then rebuilding, or basically tearing down the outdated wood framed, non-sprinkler, how many people have those? Facility that was serving kids, and coming back with a new education space that had all those modern amenities. And so with that, the opportunity to recreate their image and present that new front door that reached out to the community, that had just that transparency, that sense of welcoming to bring people in, and then have the common space that when you walk in, you'd immediately be presented with you know, here's where I go for worship. I can see preschool beyond. There's hospitality. You know, if I want a cup of coffee, you know, I can also come here. There's seating all around. There's going up to adults. Preschool is just off to the left. You see amenities like soft play from the moms that can be open.
This building is, we don't have photos. This one's going to open about 3 weeks from now, November 7th. We'll have a grand opening on this.
And then creating opportunities for it during the week, people coming in, letting actual vertical circulation pieces have those opportunities. This is a connected corridor that, you know, could plan in these little seating pods that we can, hey, let's chit chat real quick. I haven't seen you in 6 weeks. How are you doing? But it doesn't take away from the flow, the play space that is actually on display as an amenity that appeals to, you know, younger parents looking for that. Because, you know, I have four kids 10 and under, and I look for something very different, say in a church home or when I visit a campus, than like my parents would, or like Bruce with three grown kids and grandkids. Like, you just, those, you know, influences drive what we expect to see. And so just having those opportunities to be able to connect, and then using pieces as simple as, this is a connecting corridor that goes from a lot, like this particular campus has 15 foot of fall, a back lot to the front. It's always been very difficult for especially young moms with strollers to get into the building. So what can you do? So it's creating access points that incorporate, you know, like in this particular case, we're incorporating seating into the actual stair, and then there's an elevator just off to the side for that convenience factor. But it gives, not only is it a way in and up and down between floors, but it's still just as viable an opportunity for fellowship as anywhere else on campus.
Because it was a viable path to worship the main, but a lot of moms would bypass because it was actually a physically dangerous ramp that they had to go down, and the road people would slip on it.
You know, and part of the, you know, having that sense of connection, you know, it's very intuitive. So it takes away, like we were talking earlier about, you know, how many people, before they go someplace, they'll try to pull up on our phone, navigate, find a campus map. You know, I want to know where I'm going. I don't want to ask for directions. Just the nature of how we have started to progress. So being able to visually have those cues that just intuitively, like you'll see color, you'll see shapes, right? When it speaks kids, or you'll see other things that speak adults or speak worship. And just providing those visual elements that let them intuitively feel comfortable, break down some of those barriers and have people open for those connections. You know, so one of the things to think about, you know, is the resources you have. You know, what could you do, potentially better, even just what if you had more, if you're able to cast a vision, what could you do? You know, this particular group, same church, they knew that they wanted to reach young families. They knew that they wanted to, they had a particular vision for how they wanted to do ministry. And their existing space, part of the reason, didn't serve that purpose. It was a double-ed corridor. You know, every grade had its own class. Well, they wanted to come back and they wanted to create that hospitality hang space where the different grades, so I think like K through 4, 5 through 7, could come together, you know, before Bible study hour, and they could fellowship, they could do their piece, and then when they come inside to the large assembly, and then there could be small breakouts from there. But their particular vision for how they wanted to do ministry drove the space. And so that speaks to that, again, that intentionality of we want to design a facility that lets us do ministry the way we feel called to do that ministry and to serve it, creating those spaces that had the different, like the technology, the other pieces you expect to see that match to what the kids can see. Creating space that, in this case, brought students back on campus. So it's like bringing the family back together. So many times you see youth would be off in a corner because, you know, they're loud and, wow, we don't want to hear that. Or, you know, we keep them away from the seniors because those groups don't mix. But it's now we're seeing the desire to have that, you know, bi-directional mentoring where, you know, the seniors
want to be around the, you know, the younger generation. The younger generation wants to hear from the seniors. They want to have that, that dialogue, and they want to learn from each other. And so it's creating space that, while it might be geared towards, say, you know, students on the weekend, it also is a viable spot for, you know, adults during the week. This particular one also serves their international ministry, and it has the ability to host conferences and other things, so that that space is very flexible in terms of how they can use it in the ways that it can be, that it can meet those needs. And so when you talk about these pieces so far with the purpose, you know, the community, the connection, you know, it really comes down to, which is what church is, it's family, it's welcome home. It's giving that sense of you belong here, we did this for you, want you to be a part of our family. And so when you talk about what that means, it's creating those spaces that really just intuitively give that sense of, be like, we want you to, this particular, like, we want you to feel like you can walk in, plop down in a chair and kick up your feet and you feel like you're at home. So this is a church just outside the DC area that saw a need to really minister to that overworked, nonstop community. I mean, they wanted to create a place that would have a sense of respite, where they could come, they could disconnect, and they could just be. And so it was taking cues from, we want to create a lodge-like atmosphere where they really can retreat to this place. And they can, you know, like we said, I think the pastor actually said, I want a man to be able to feel like they can come in, sit down, and kick up their heels.
And this is to us important in terms of understanding your marketplace. We always refer to that, because every setting of a church is unique, but you got to know not only your marketplace, but your target audience, whether you're looking. They very much understood that. Pastor Mark, he desired this lodge type setting, because, like I said, a lot of the people, they work in DC, work for the government contractors, high tense jobs. And so when they came on church, this was a 30-acre wooded site at one point. And so he said, I want them to come as families and feel like this place they can hang out. And they do. It's got, you know, it's got a 6,000 square foot coffee shop on site that's used throughout the week. So,
right. Which, you know, which speaks a little bit to, you know, what does your particular community expect, you know, in terms of hospitality, in terms of the experience, because just looking at, there was a need for a nice coffee shop that would be open throughout the week for the business community to be able to come in and use as meeting space. So be part of that design, which you saw in this space, was creating an area that have a coffee element, that would have a tables, chairs, and have soft seating, and also have the ability to be a venue, and let that be available to the community throughout the week. It also gets into how you design space. Like, say you have an existing campus, this particular church, it's the traditional, you know, Southern Baptist, good Southern Baptist, where it's the red brick with the white steeple on top, and then sanctuary in the middle, and then two wings. You know, double the corridors for classrooms. This was children, this was adults, and there were, you know, shelves to meet. And so how do we, when we want a very, their particular drive was, we want a relationship-driven ministry. It's all about the relationships we create with each other in Christ. Our facility doesn't speak that. Well, how do we do that? So it was coming back in, and it was creating these connecting spaces that would lead, you know, from worship into education, that had the visual connection outside, leveraging that, letting, you know, with the natural light, with opportunities for seating, with cafes, with, you know, bookstores, just intuitively knowing where to go without having to ask.
This was a vibrant church, right here. If you know anything about New Orleans, right across the like lunch train, with where a lot of families were moving, coming out of Katrina and all that. But their building was not reflective of who they were. Mark mentioned the old style church. And they were like, hey, don't use that as a cue of anything. I mean, And when we began to talk about image, they almost want to lose that image. And so we, had a pretty open canvas to do things, but it would be representative of the community that Covington was becoming.
Yeah, like what you see here, right? So this was that new Commons Hub. If you look right back through here, that was the connection to their existing church. Just inside this room was their old hospitality.
Well, it was a 1,200 seat room. Yeah, it was a 1,200 seat room wrapped by corridors. No hospitality again.
So when you want to be relationship driven and you want to engage and you want to have dialogue, you want to make sure you have space that provides that, and it's not just a pass through or, between services or from service to your car to leaving.
That previously was, if you look at that, wood cross, that previously was flanked with glass doors. That was the front door to the campus for which no one ever came in because it faced a green field corner. Everybody went to the back of the building and came down two long corridors to come to that lobby. So oddly enough, for once now, that cross, which we took off all stuff and wrapped it in cypress wood, but it actually became a very relevant transition place between the old and the new. So the pastor often uses that as a reference point. Hey, let's meet at the cross. Let's do all that, kind of that old and new. And so, but it was, to us, we wanted to make good use of that, what previously was a front door.
Talk about authenticity, especially with millennials and even with Gen Z, it really is important to them to, represent accurately and truthfully, who you are, what you believe, just intuitively be able to know without having to guess. So part of that, authenticity really gets into knowing, first, who you are, what is your church culture, what is the, your ministry, your community. And as an example, this is a church in Frisco, Texas. Always been in a warehouse. They never had their own space. They'd always just moved from warehouse to warehouse. So when they had the opportunity to build their first ground-up facility, that warehouse culture had really ingrained itself in their DNA. So how do we bring some of that back without building a warehouse, building spaces that actually facilitate the ministry we want to do, but still maintain some of that? So it was through use of materials, through certain forms, the simplicity of, to a wall at the education, and then letting, glass, transparency, natural light start to enhance some of that sterileness that you might get from a warehouse type of space, but, still maintain, like the polished concrete floors, the exposed structure, being able to see the roof deck. So very much some of that stripped down, simplistic aesthetic, but then bringing in color, bringing in, the hospitality, letting the space start to speak to their particular brand of their ministry. And I think that was a way to allow them to be represented, because part of that was also when you think about, a warehouse church, they had always had a flat floor, so it was very multi-purpose. It was very flexible, but they knew, or there was a desire to have a space that would facilitate a better worship experience, but still maintain that flexibility. And so what we were able to do is come back in, and like you can see here, it's flat floor, and it has the rake seating, and it's a little bit steeper rake like you might expect to see in a theater. And some of that is driven by their particular style of worship, but it was also having the flexibility to be able to convert that to conference space. So there's a lot of women's conferences, men's Bible studies. I mean, all throughout the week, there's some type of event that's happening here. And then on the weekend, they convert it to the worship space. And then purposefully, and there'll be an image in a second where you'll get a picture of it, keeping it a very neutral palette so that technology could be used as an enhancement for the space and being able to tune it to the particular experience that they want to create for that particular event. And so like we ask here, when you talk about technology, is your AVL, which is, audio, video, lighting, your technology, like you see, is it appropriate to
the style of worship that you were, you know, wanting to provide. And so when you get into what that means, this is that space that we were just looking at. And you can see this particular case, it has, you know, the stage sets, the lighting, the, you know, all the different pieces. And we could show you endless pictures of this particular room where it's any color you can imagine and all kinds of get-ups. But basically having the ability to tune that to accomplish whatever complements the particular, you know, the goal that we can with the sermon, or if there's a special event, if it's a concert, if it's a conference, being able to have that space transform is very important. Contrasted here, it is a little bit more straightforward focus where, you know, you have the IMAX, you have the projection, but then being able to let that function just as well with the natural light that comes in, and you take advantage of this setting. This is the church you saw that had that modular. So one of the things for them, because of the site they sit on, was being able to have a visual cue to it, but also have it not be a distraction. But then, with, as anyone knows, with natural light, it sometimes competes with what you want to do with the technology. So just being able to make sure that we accounted for that in the design space. And so, you know, when we talk about is an enhancement or a distraction, I mean, that could really apply in multiple places. You know, here specifically, we're talking about technology. But when you think about what you are trying to accomplish, this room, so here's Church in Covington. It's set up, you don't see, you know, any of the lighting or the technology turned on, so it's neutral palette again, but there's colored lights on the walls, there's colored lights in the ceilings, and then the main house lighting actually is RGB as well. The LED screens, they've actually initially just put in a few of the panels. Ultimately, that'll be a screen that goes all the way across, and it actually raises and lowers. The choir risers that you actually see here are on track, so it can push in and out, because they actually do two services. They do a praise band led, and they also do a choir led. And the last thing that you would never expect in this particular room is
right
up above those screens are organ chairs, because they actually have a ministry that is, you know, is very tied to that particular style. And so it was very important to them to make sure that when we built this new facility, hey, we want to be able to provide for all these different types of the worship experience. And so it was very interesting going through that, because if any of you are familiar with it, I mean, an organ and a band and a choir want to be in very different types of space. And then you put in a speaker, like a talking speaker. And so this is that room. And it's actually tuned to where you see the praise band. So, you know, it has the, you know, the colored lights and everything turned on. So they're creating a certain type of experience. And then for their more blended service, you can see where it's the choir is pulled, and then you have those elements start to get introduced. And so it just allows them that flexibility to be able to tune to reach those that might like a more blended service, or those that might like a truly, you know, more contemporary praise band led service. A complement to physical space, when you think about, like, here we are inside, you know, four walls, it's the space that exists, like, right outside. What people have realized, especially coming out of the last 18 months, is, hey, we can actually be outside. We can do things. I mean, it's actually nice. And so how do we leverage those spaces? Because it's just as viable for fellowship, for community, for worship. I mean, it's something that you're starting to see more and more. There's a desire to have that outside space. There's also a desire for spaces inside to connect, and, you know, visually, let alone physically.
And this goes back to some of that desire to have community on your site, not only you're in your internal community, but the community, let it find areas that it's the same reason again why restaurants, what do they a lot of times have? You know, outdoor patio, outdoor deck. People choose, and they'll ask you, hey, you want to sit inside, outside.
we live in a place that it'll get 112 degrees. You'll see a lot of people go, I want to go sit outside because of their hands and all that. They want to be. And so we look at that as architects and say, well, why would, if people want to have outdoor spaces in their homes, nice backyard, outdoor kitchens, restaurants, you go to any of your hotel resorts, a lot of that space can be outside. Why would we not want to have that same level of hospitality community associated with the church? And it, we believe it kind of decommercializes the church, you know, the institutional aspect of.
So whether it's the, you know, water features, it's plazas, seating, you know, this particular church is in Oxford, Mississippi, so college town. So being able to have the green lawn, you can spill out to do a lot of events, but having the glass that fronts on that plaza space. So it, in a sense, it extends your commons area, you know, it practically doubles it. So you have that ability to continue fellowship after service, before service.
Yeah, they do food trucks a lot of times.
Show for Sunday service. Classroom space that has those visual connections to the outside. So each one of these rooms actually has the opportunity to spill outside into its own little plaza piece. So you get, there is something that's inherently nice about being able to have that natural light, being able to have those opportunities to spill in and outside. Having the cafe, the student space that starts to speak a language that, you know, like you might expect this to be like a little bistro around the corner, but it starts to, you know, speak that language. It starts to gel with some of those expectations. And this becomes just as viable a spot as that coffee shop down the corner. And so people feel comfortable starting to come on campus. And once they're on campus, you break down those barriers.
This goes back to speaking that where your building speaks a language and you want it to speak a language of come early, stay late. But then you go in outside your service and go, wait, we don't have a space where we can do that, right? Please come early, please stay late. Oh, where? Because we don't have that place of hospitality. That's providing for some of those types of spaces.
Right. So then we'll have you know, clarity. You know, who doesn't like clarity, right? But what we mean by that is just your space intuitively speaking to what happened on the inside. So, you know, who thinks, you know, this, you know, is for children? Right? It's just inherent within the design. It's the colors, it's the bold graphics. Right? Exactly. So their particular ministry vision was, we want to create an equivalent to a Disney experience. We want
where the children would enjoy the building as much and beg their parents to come back for that.
And this was designed specifically for kids, not for their parents. And so as you walk inside, it's having the main street is scaling down. And this isn't every ministry. This was this particular ministry. But how it just spoke a language that they could appreciate, like the coffee shop in that particular space was really an ice cream shop. It was designed to look like an ice cream shop and kids could go in and get an ice cream. It's their particular assembly space. And it's that streetscape. It's like the old New York Broadway, you know, backstage. And it's everything is scaled appropriately for 80% from reality for kids. So it was very fun to actually work on this project. Very creative opportunity to really explore. Which really gets into when you talk about do you present a congruent message? Like when you think about what you have online, somebody might come to your website, find out about you. So whatever messaging is there, whatever they see there, when they come to your physical campus, is it a compliment where it's like, all right, I get this, I understand, or is it a potential it's discord because what they see doesn't necessarily represent what they read or what they saw online? Because as an example, I'll use it two ways. Say you saw online the worship experience from Preston Trail, but when you showed up on campus, this is what you came to. You're like, wait, this is the right address? And so that's not to say it's bad and you can't use existing facilities. It's just more of being aware of that and how you counteract that is very important. On the flip side, this particular facility is an Episcopal church, so they're very liturgical driven in how they worship. And so they wanted to make sure that when they built this addition for children's space and for their contemporary worship, that it spoke to that liturgicalness, that grounded
grounds their faith, but also, like,
this is our contemporary venue, if you can believe it. And what makes it contemporary are these two screens and the fact that they have a drum kit. So when you say, this is, you know, what is contemporary worship to you? Well, it depends on your particular tradition and your particular community, and that's why it's always important to ask those questions, why? But this starts to speak to them. It speaks to their community. It's in the Highland Park area, so it's a little bit more upscale. But so, like, their fellowship space, their worship space needs to speak to those expectations that can be recognized that people expect to see. Same thing, like, with this is the Catholic Church that actually speaks to break ground. Again, very much, you know, liturgy focused. So one of the things that when we're working with Father Bradley, it was very specific. Their current facility looks like a library. But we wanted
a bad library.
We wanted to speak timeless. We wanted to speak, in their particular case, Catholic. So when you drove by, you did not mistake this for anything else. And so what can we do architecturally that starts to bring in those elements that speak to that particular faith? And the importance of, you know, the procession, the formal entry, just how the architecture starts to complement your work. And so that really does become an important driver for, you know, creating that impact. Because ultimately, all of this, everything we're talking about, is really geared towards creating that impact in terms of reaching that next generation, reaching people, building up the body of Christ. And really, the facilities is just a tool, because we all know the church is the people, but you got to make sure that you have the right tool to be able to build what it is you want to build. And so the last little video will show, this was the existing campus. It was an existing campus that was built in the 80s, where, you know, it's a boomer generation. They came in and it's like, well, a church, very pragmatic, right? It needs a worship center. It needs a narthex to connect to it, it needs children's space, it needs choir room, it needs fellowship hall, all these different pieces. So they built church. And it served its purpose very well for, you know, 30 years. And then they started to realize that they weren't reaching those younger generations, the young families. And so they started asking questions. And it just, a lot of it came down to, they didn't have the amenities that were expected, like to open the hospitality space, the commons area, places to gather. I didn't speak kids. There was no transparency. I mean, it was all its brick facades. So one of the things that, you know, we were tasked with was, how do you transform this campus to actually speak to those next generations? So that's what you saw in that first little bit, where it's like you take those core pieces and then you wrap, and then we brought around that common space that connected everything. We opened up, tore down some buildings, opened up that plaza that it would front out onto. And you had the kids space, you bring in the child piece. So it really started to speak to the community who they wanted to be, as opposed to being limited by what their facility said that people thought they were. So as you go back, and one of the things I would encourage is, as much as possible, like when you, next time you're on your own personal campus, it's like, try to imagine yourself as a first-time guest, and, you know, what story is your facility telling? Do you really think it's helping impact your community in a positive way, or do you think it's potentially limiting the impact you're having? And then what can you do to potentially, you know, overcome that or enhance that? Because that's ultimately what it's all about. I mean, if there's any questions, I mean, that's really the gist of what we have to talk about.
Thanks for listening to this session from the 2021 Shepherds 360 International Church Leaders Conference. This material is copyrighted and may not be altered or sold. For information, visit shepherds360.org.